You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Nolan knows her knowledge is your power.
Speaking of power, here's one way to use your power. It is a Thursday and it is time for Nola Knows. Wendy Nola, how lovely to speak to you again. It's been many, many years.
Oh, likewise, Rebecca. Lovely to be on air with you.
And I was just looking at what you're going to be touching on today. And I know that we all feel like doing this at times. You want to let rip when something goes wrong. And it's your 8th and your 9th and your 10th attempt to actually get something sorted out. Or you can't believe what you're seeing. But swearing at service providers, that's one of the issues you're tackling today. Is it okay to swear at somebody when something has gone wrong, or you've seen something or experienced something horrific with one of their products? And then the other topic is promises that lead to the opposite of what you've been promised when it comes to, for example, telesales. You know, when people phone you and say, we can offer you this great deal, what are you paying for this at the moment? Well, take our deal and it's going to save you so much every month. And at the end of the month, you're actually paying more than what you were. But let's talk about the swearing first. I'm very potty mouthed myself.
Yes.
Words come out of my mouth very, very easily. And it's a story about KFC. What happened?
So I think you know, we all have our own views on our own habits when it comes to swearing.
Yeah.
As a journalist, as a profession, I think we're probably a bit more foul mouthed than most.
It's a requirement.
There's a time and a place for it, right?
It's a requirement when you're a journalist. You must be able to swear.
And of course, and I'm not going to say that I don't let the odd word fly when I am stressed. When I hurt myself, when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated. But what I want to talk about today is context. So there's a time and a place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from my perspective as a consumer journalist who for more than two decades has been fielding complaints from members of the public and mediating in disputes that they have with companies,
yes,
I'm going to say it's never appropriate to do it. Not just because it's a lack of respect, both for yourself and for the person, stranger, this company representative, whoever, there is an actual person at the end of a customer care email address, but more than that, it minimizes your chances of getting what you want in many cases, because
yes,
I will take up such cases, and the first thing the service provider says is that customer was abusive. So
yes,
it takes your often very legitimate complaint and it sort of dilutes it and sidetracks it into this, well, he or she was abusive. So, and I've seen this play out many, many times. And that brings me to the case study.
Where some feathers were ruffled, I believe.
About
some
issues.
Some feathers were ruffled.
You beat me
to
it.
Sorry.
You beat me to it, Rebecca. So I'm not going to reveal his whole name.
Okay.
I'm just going to call him Jared. He copied me in on an email that he sent to KFC's customer care just a few days ago. And this is how it went. Good day. Please see attached, and it was a photograph you might have seen at Uveka,
yes, yes,
of it looks like a chicken wing, and then there's a bit of a, well, obviously this feather that remained is, you know, it doesn't look like a full feather because it's been deep fried, right? But,
yes,
but
yeah,
it shouldn't be there clearly.
Yeah.
He says, can someone from KFC, and obviously I'm going to not say the full word, right? But
we all
know what I'm going to, what he meant. He said the full word. He wrote the full words. Can someone from KFC please explain how the F on earth do we find a feather on the chicken? And then there's about 10 to 12 question marks and exclamation marks, which is also part of this deal that I'm going to talk about in a bit. I bought KFC in, and he mentions the Durban suburb.
Yeah.
Today, it's effing sad that we found feathers on the effing chicken. This is effing very disgusting to find something else. This in the chicken. This is verbatim.
The
worst part is that a two-year-old was eating this piece of chicken. I'm horrified to see something like this. We had a family function. This was a big put off. I want this effing sorted out ASAP. Mm. Otherwise, this will definitely be put on social media.
Mm.
And there were a string of photos. I've just let you see one.
Yes.
So as I've said, what I found a big put off is language like that in this particular context, because it's not appropriate, as I've said.
And
I've said why. And it also tells the person, the service provider that gets this email or the unfortunate one that gets it face-to-face in a store, and that happens a lot as well. Many companies have confirmed that to me, is that it brands you as unreasonable. So kind of by extension, does that also mean that your complaint is unreasonable? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's just
you just don't do yourselves any favor. Yes. It's like way beyond it being not nice for the person to receive it. You're not
you've already created a perception. You've created a perception of yourself.
Exactly.
You've given an impression of yourself. It almost comes across as bullying and aggressive. And then you don't endear people to your cause, right?
You absolutely don't. Yeah. Well said. And I have to say that many a company has heaped the most awful, unconscionable, that's actually a Consumer Protection Act phrase, a term, unconscionable, intolerable abuse on a customer, not swearing, but by not giving them their due, not refunding them, not taking care of a problem for a very, very long time, weeks, months, in many cases. And in such cases, I would say brutal, in inverted commas, language is justifiable. But what I'm talking about is a more creative form of expression than swear words, and that is far more it's far more effective because you're staying on the moral high ground.
You're
keeping your dignity, and you can slay them with, you know, people often say if you're swearing, you lack creativity in expression. I mean, you can lay in, and that applies to me in many cases too, but you could lay in and make your case and make it very strongly without swearing, is my point.
So, let's charm works very nicely sometimes. Charm works better than this kind of question as well. Yes.
I would certainly say so. And if I get an email from somebody that's been wronged and that states it out very clearly and says, you know, this is what I expect, am I right and can you help me get it, kind of thing. I know that when I forward that email with my comments and on the issue, you know, it's going to land well.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend time sanitizing somebody's complaining email for them so that they don't create, you know, my complaint that I'm now taking on is not, you know, seen in a bad light because of the abuse.
So how did you deal with this one?
Okay,
Wendy?
So I wanted it to be a two-pronged thing. I wanted them to talk, because obviously it is an issue. There shouldn't be feathers on your fried chicken.
But we find feathers and hairs and all of that. It happens. We all do. You know, it happens. Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. But I also wanted to talk to them about the abuse. And I have to say, I battled to find who's currently handling the KFC account, first of all, in terms of dealing with the media. And there was a bit of a delay. And then when I did get the answer, it was a lot of my questions were not answered. I've gone back. I don't think I'm going to get a response in time to air here. But let's talk about what we do know. So the questions, here were my questions. In KFC land, how big a faux pas is a bit of feather left on a piece of chicken?
Mm.
So to my mind, clearly uncooked chicken, which often does happen in any chicken, fast food chicken outlet, is a definite health risk. Undercooked chicken is dangerous.
Yeah.
A grizzled, you know, shriveled up feather, that thing, any pathogens on there, it's been deep fried. It's more of a, I don't want to see it. I know I'm eating chicken and I know they have feathers, but I don't necessarily want to be reminded of it while I'm eating my KFC kind of thing. But it's not a health risk.
No.
So I wanted to know for them, they obviously internally, they have a, you know, from red to amber to yellow, kind of how bad is this this mess up that our store made? I didn't get an answer on that. I also wanted to know, ask questions around, you know, how is this a franchise store? Is this a corporate store? Didn't answer on that. And then as to the liberal use of profanity in Jared's complaints, I wanted to know to what extent is such language, along with the overuse of capital letters, bright colors, bolding, etc., a feature of complaints which the company, and this is KFC, is South Africa's largest quick service restaurant or fast food brand.
Oh.
To what extent is this this verbal abuse kind of playing out in the complaints that they receive? And has there been an escalation in recent years? So the response was, all corporate start like this. We're firmly committed to providing the highest level of food quality standards across all our restaurants, all our products go through. You know, as journalists, eyes are glazing. however, we acknowledge that in this instance, the food quality standards were not met. We take such allegations extremely seriously, and on being notified of this issue, the matter has been escalated to the supplier for further investigations. I'm guessing where the chicken came from, but the chicken goes through several processes. You know, in the branches, somebody should have seen the chicken, surely. As for what they will do, because that's obviously one of the questions I asked, we will offer him a replacement meal as per our taste guarantee promise. We can confirm that we've had no other similar incidents at that branch of KFC. With regard to your question around tone and approach, KFC understands that the customer was incredibly frustrated, and no matter how we are approached, we try and resolve any complaint as amicably as possible. So that's obviously a very sort of public relations response.
Very dignified,
Which we can understand. While we do receive complaints on quality from time to time, we certainly have not seen an increase in this over the last year or so. I wasn't asking them about escalation and quality complaints. I was asking about an escalation of verbal abuse, which they either misunderstood or chose not to respond.
Glazed over.
I've gone back to them. But they glazed over. But I think, you know, I do know from other companies who, off the record, have asked me, you know, how do they empower and protect their staff against abusive customers. And unfortunately, Vic, you can understand this, the abuse seems to escalate when, you know, people are, there's economic hardship, and we're right in the middle of hardship from all sides, from fuel and electricity and all the rest. Food inflation is crazy. So people who've sensed a loss of control and the fear that come with that, some people will take that out in many ways, often with service providers who they perceive to be in a position where they have to take it
for the customer. And it's actually the first face of the restaurant or whatever it is. It's not even the person who even cooked that chicken or had touched that chicken
or supplied it.
That is the sad part. Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought, just a quick one, because as I say, someone that gets these complaints, they're not directed at me. They're asking me to help them with a problem that they have with a company. But there are their complaints and the way they lay them out sometimes tells me that, you know, it's a clue as to why they possibly have issues with service providers, because they're not taking. This sounds, as I'm hearing myself speak, it sounds a bit like victim blaming, and it isn't. I just want to say, if you have a valid complaint, these are the things, if you're going to complain, put it in writing, these are the things that will give you your best chance of a resolution, of presenting yourself in the best possible light. And that is, summarize the problem in the subject line. Don't just put complaint or,
say feather on chicken.
Rubbish food or, whatever. And even if you take it up with somebody like me as well, detail, use that subject line to your best advantage to grab attention. Then set out the issue as it happened with all the relevant details, where you bought the product, when you bought it, where you bought it, when you bought it. Attach the till slip if you have it, because that's got all the detail on it. Use spacing. Don't just like vomit it all out in one unending paragraph. Use punctuation. Don't use capital letters, but not all. Don't hit caps lock because you're too lazy to put it on and off, because that's shouting. If it's all capital letters, you're actually shouting, and that's quite abusive. And as I alluded to earlier, don't use huge fonts, bright reds, exclamation marks. You just come across as a little bit hysterical.
And emojis. Now that people can use emojis is another story.
There's a place for it, but not in this kind of context. Yeah. And take photographs. This person did, so a big tick there. Not too many. One or two is fine to capture it. Don't make them too huge. Make sure they're in focus. And this is very important, Yvette. You know how many people write to me? They say, please help, but they don't tell me what they actually want and when they need it by, kind of thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, he says,
if you're writing to a company.
And Jared's saying, I want this effing sorted out ASAP. What do you actually want? I want a replacement. I want a year's supply of chicken. What exactly are you asking for? Yeah.
Which would be definitely unreasonable. But yes, exactly. So most people don't do that very vital thing. So say before you hit send, consider, you know, first of all, if you've provided all the information, think of yourself receiving it. You know, what do you have the tools to help? And then just say, this is very calmly, I expect so-and-so by this date. failing which I will have to consider my next steps or state them, whatever they are. Go onto social media, consult my lawyer, take this up with a consumer journalist, whatever the case may be, but be very, very clear about what you want. And I think this kind of thing goes for, you know, any communication with anybody really is just, you know, sorting your thoughts, documenting them well. It just shows the sign of a reasonable,
rational,
but person that you can't mess with either. So, yeah, I just put it out there because most people aren't quite there. And
in the moment.
The ones that are, and you really want to, I understand.
And you're reacting in the moment, and you were hangry. You know, you were hungry and angry at the same time.
Yes.
You really, you know, you were looking forward to your lovely piece of chicken and your mash and gravy and the roll and the chips or whatever and everything and all of that. And there you find this feather and it's done. That's your day ruined. So we can understand
that,
but you're not going to get the result that you want, or you're not going to get it when you want it if you are going to be on paper shouting at people. And not just shouting, but just being
swearing.
Abusive. They immediately going to go, we don't like this guy and I'm going to do as little as possible. That was me. I'm going to do as little as possible to help you because you're disrespectful.
Yeah, it just doesn't land well. If somebody presents it well, you want to help them. You know, you want to, and if with all the information, you've got to tick all the boxes. It's not really hard. It's just a habit you get into. And as I say, I want to reiterate, I get that people get angry, and I've been witness to the most horrendous consumer abuses of my companies. And you know, it's offensive to me, and I do everything I can to help as many as I can. I'm not saying I don't understand the anger. I'm just saying for yourself, for your benefit. This is the way to go about it.
Yeah.
You know, calm down and document it, but avoid the abuse.
I have to wonder if he actually tried taking that chicken back to the branch and showing them that feather. Don't you think that would have been a way to resolve this, Wendy?
I suppose, although he was saying it was a family function, maybe, you know, he didn't want to take the time out to sidetrack the whole thing and do that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I didn't respond because he copied me in, and I took it up with KFC and decided to talk about the abuse issue because, well, that way, you know, if they would go to anyway, KFC would definitely have sorted this issue out. But I don't, I felt that was disrespectful. I've got no shortage of complaints. My inbox is overflowing.
I'm sure. Well,
don't put it that way.
And there's a WhatsApp that's come through to say, this person says, I contacted KFC with a problem and the customer contact center were amazing. So obviously their approach is different. Yeah. So, you know, it's not. And look, places like this, like KFC or your fast food places, they're used to this. They're expecting that there's going to be something, and they already have, I would think, measures in place, things that they're going to do to make it right. They already have their contingency plans. They know what they're going to do, and often it happens.
And as they said to me, we
will offer a replacement meal.
We understand. The customer was, no matter how we are approached, we try and resolve as amicably as possible. Yeah. So they just suck it up. It's a different story when it's in the store. And I'm sure they train their staff on how to deal with that kind of abuse.
Yeah.
It's much more hard to take when it's someone standing in front of you swearing at you, and it does happen at retail level. I'm hoping that those companies do get, you know, proper professional training in for their staff and how to deal with such a situation. They can't be just left there without support
and the trauma
to protect themselves.
Of being a male like this. Yeah. All right. Well, if you have if you have an experience you want to share with us, do give us a call 011-883-0702 or WhatsApp us or send us your voice note on 072-702-1702. If you've had a good or bad experience or you haven't had any luck, and what do you think of this? You know, this tone or approaching a complaint in the way that this particular customer did. Wendy and I would love to know your thoughts. Susan in Cullinan, you want to share something with us. Hi there.
Hi. Yes. You know what? I think the way that the gentleman approached it was totally, even if he went to the store, that wouldn't have helped, because I always call a call center. I realized, because I've been in retail as a student, that if you approach somebody and start yelling and screaming, that person is that the receiving end.
Sorry, Susan.
So I usually do, if I have to call a call center to complain, I say, I realize that you are the person that answered the phone and you are representing the company, and it wasn't you that made the mistake. But may I please just tell you how super angry I am at your company And then will you please listen to my complaint? And I've always had success. And you do that in store as well. Why do you want to yell and scream at the person who can do actually nothing?
Yes.
And they glaze over. They just don't listen if you do that. So if you approach, it's not what you say, it's how you say.
Yes, yes. You can still have your say.
Exactly.
Yes. And the moment that you said, I'm so angry at your company, but I'm not angry at you, but unfortunately, you need to listen to me now. Then immediately
yeah,
you feel
there's no
better
one else.
Well.
Yeah.
You just feel better because you said, you told somebody, I'm angry.
Yeah.
But you don't have to use the F-bomb to say how angry you are. They can hear that you're angry.
Yeah. And in a way, when
I've always had good results.
When humans approach humans as humans, you more likely 80% chance that you're going to get a better result than if you approach them sort of as an angry tiger. And that's not,
yes,
that
exactly
doesn't help
that.
You. All right. Yes, well, exactly. Thanks very much, Susan, for sharing that with us. And yes, there is a lesson in it. And we do understand that you are very angry and you are very cross and you're very disappointed at the time that this has happened, especially when it's food you paid for. And like we say, everybody's battling, Wendy. It's, you know, you've shelled out for this particular meal. It was a family function, so obviously you had to buy a lot. And,
exactly.
And it put them off completely. But we'll continue to take calls on this one. And we also have to talk about the other one, which is when you know, you get those promises of you're going to pay less if you take this deal, and then you end up paying more. And what do you do about that? But we're coming up now to Eyewitness News headlines. It is afternoons with Willa Bukhile Mabotja. I'm Yuveka Rangapa. Thanks so much for joining us. And it is Thursday, so we're talking NOLA Knows, and we've been talking about the KFC complaint and the very, very rude complaint, the F-bombs that were dropped by a consumer, a customer, about a feather that was found in his chicken, and just the complaint that he laid. But his written complaint was full of swear words. And Wendy, I just want to read some of the messages that have come through saying what is immensely irritating is when managers are absent, do not respond at all, or do not take the complaint seriously. Standards have dropped in many KFC outlets with managers not even taking things seriously, example bad lettuce, overcooked chicken, or undercooked chips. A responsive empathic manager would immediately calm things down. And then we have a voice note as well that's come through.
702, so I am an avid KFC fan. I have never had, I'm lying, there was once that I contacted that customer care, but it was, I felt that the guy that was working at the time was being extremely rude, and he refused to do what I asked him to do, which was not exceptional. I then went to a different branch and I told them what had happened, and they said, well, contact customer care, which I did. If ever I've had a complaint with KFC, they will replace your meal and give you extras, always. It needs to be a legit complaint, but they will replace your meal and they will give you extras because they know they cannot afford to lose your customer. I don't know why this guy had to go to this extreme, about a feather that's been cooked and boiled and fried. Yeah, to me that would be a bit extreme. But anyway, have a nice day, and this is Dasha.
All right. So not so much about the quality of KFC, but just the discussion is around complaining. And is it necessary to swear and be angry when you're complaining about something? And, you know, how do you approach complaining about a particular service or a product? Let's hear from Farida in Florida North. Hi, Farida.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. So you've dealt with something like this.
Yes, a lady phoned in extremely angry, swearing one way, telling me how her order was 45 minutes late, wasn't what she ordered, the quality was terrible, my helper was unhelpful, completely rude, couldn't find her order. Not a problem, ma'am, we'll sort it out, name, phone number. But I'm up there and her order is in front of me. She never came to pick it up. She had gone to a different store.
Oh, dear.
Took somebody else's order, which obviously wasn't hers, and of course then complained and then phoned me.
Wow. I would have loved to see the look on her face when she found out she was shouting at the wrong person, and nobody needed to be shouted at, actually.
And, it was angry because she spent X amount of money. How dare we give her food like this? And then when we tried to phone back, a lot of times because we wanted to say, ma'am, we've got your food here. I promise you it wasn't us, etc. She refused to answer the calls.
Of course.
So I used other people's phone numbers, got a hold of her. Her daughter answered, and they're like, oh, are we so sorry? Our father went to a different store to pick up the order. And I'm like, okay, but what about your food? This is, after all, X amount of food.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we've already eaten.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, what a story that is.
That is a story to share. Thanks, Farida.
What a comedy of errors that one is. Imagine the poor husband and what happened to him on the other side after all of that. Tavo from Pretoria East, hi there. Share your experience or tell us how you think these things need to be dealt with.
Hi, Vika and hi, Wendy. It's a very simple,
hi, Tavo.
I believe that, you know, we need to use our words. I tell my kids all the time, use your words. You've got enough vocabulary. There's no need to use profanity. And you will get the results. Use words like unacceptable. This is,
yes.
As a service provider, I have a higher regard for you, and I choose you outside of other service providers in order to fulfill this particular service. So my example is I had a Pizza Vito experience where I'd ordered, I called them through. Got to the place and they said the pizzas will be ready in half an hour. I drove there 45 minutes later. By the time I got there, they still weren't ready. I was made to wait an additional hour for pizzas, and it was two pizzas. You know, it wasn't a lot, right? It was just two pizzas, and I was like, I've waited an hour and 45 minutes for two pizzas. It doesn't make any sense. So I said to them, give me your number. Give me all your details for your head office. I'm actually going to send an email. And I had a brand manager email me back. He offered me and my fiance dinner for two, all expenses paid. And they ended up even sending food to the place where I used to work.
Wow.
About 30 people.
Wow.
In order to make amends.
Wow.
Because I made sure that I mentioned I work in a specific place. I use your restaurant a lot. I always recommend your restaurant. This is unacceptable. I cannot, you know what I mean? You are my preferred service provider. I use this much money every single month buying takeaways, and you guys are having 80% of that. So please sort this out. I can't have this happening again. And I didn't use any single word of profanity. I underlined a bit, one or two words. You know, but I didn't use any capital letters.
That's okay.
I didn't use any bolding. I didn't use any red or blue or whatever.
You just used guilt, Tabo. You laid on the guilt.
She used his words.
But
and
you have to.
I love
know,
that.
I'm joking.
Unacceptable. And another word to use. Oh, don't you remember when your parents are cross with you, it's much more savage if they say we're disappointed rather than they're angry. I'm disappointed in your brand. It's a, yeah.
Yes. Okay, Tabo. Well, there's where the power of words, the power of nice words, respectful words, and look at the results. Look at the result that Tabo got. Unbelievable.
But still, clearly, he came across as a very assertive consumer who wasn't going to accept that kind of really shoddy service. So you can do it without resorting to the F-bombs. And that's a wonderful example.
Well done. Well done. Well, Wendy, we're running out of time and we've got some other cases to deal with. And I believe you have an update on the Visa case that you were talking about on the show last week.
Yeah, look. Right. Sure, I'm happy to. I mean, those are just guidelines. If our listeners want to talk about this in particular, then let's go with them. But I did think many will remember, who are listening last week will remember, right at the end, a chap called Jeff Sainer phoned in to say that his son, 21-year-old Harry, had been chosen to represent South Africa at the Commonwealth Games fencing competition. And he was due to fly that night, Thursday night, a week ago. And clearly that didn't happen. He didn't have the visa or the passport. They'd had to apply for a visa from the UK High Commission. And long story short, I said I'd follow up on it. I'd take up the case. I didn't have to. The visa actually arrived the next day in the afternoon.
Okay.
It was a lot of stress.
Sure.
So Harry went, and his father, he got really far in the competition, but he's out now, and he's currently, as we speak, taking part in the team's fencing event. And I just thought, for anyone, like, I don't know, it bugged me that he flew out. I think they had to buy another ticket on Monday, and he flew on Monday. But I just wanted to say, I have approached several times. I've made several attempts to get hold of the UK High Commission to ask about what is going on, because Jeff said, you know, there's it's chaos. You can't get to talk to anyone. You have no idea. You can't find out where in the queue your visa is. You don't know what to do. Is it coming this afternoon? Is it coming next week? They simply cannot answer any questions. There's no manager. You can't speak to a manager. And so I asked these questions and said, what's the current delay, backlog like? Jeff said he found out too late that there was a fast track option, which could involve paying up to 6,000 rand. So I asked about those options. And sadly, the person I used to deal with had left. The other person has also left. I was given a name. I've emailed twice, no answer. So I'll keep working on that. But the one thing I do want to share with listeners is please don't buy your ticket before you've got your visa. And that's what the commission very strongly recommends.
Okay.
So you have at least your passport in hand if you want to make another plan, go via another country or whatever.
All right.
So that's the advice there.
Okay. So we want to talk about telesales next. That's coming up in just a moment. And Wendy has had to deal with complaints about misleading telesales calls, especially when it comes to cell phone contracts. So if you have experiences you want to share with us on that one, 011-883-0702 or WhatsApp us. 0727021702. We'll be talking about that on the other side of this.
702.
Nolan knows.
Wendy, we have just a couple of minutes to get through the next one, which is telesales or misleading telesales calls. Especially when it comes to cell phone contracts. What happened?
Okay, so lots of cases all the time, Yvonne. There's never any shortage of it. I like to mention these cases every now and then just to remind people because we all get these calls. Most of us get these calls.
Yes.
Right? So either the complaints have fallen to a few categories. Either people were led to believe that they were agreeing to some kind of migration or change to the existing cell phone contract because the wording of the pitch was kind of made them think that. But actually just a better deal on what they currently have, the current contract, but actually they were agreeing to a whole second contract. So now they've got two cell phone contracts and how many people want that? So that's quite a common one. And the other one is when they get told it is actually a tweaking of the existing one, but it's not what they told it's going to be. So that's what happened to Bernard. He upgraded his MTN contract for a further 24 months, 2 years, last Feb. 10 months later, December last year, he received a call from a so-called MTN agent telling him that his payments could be reduced by 50 rand a month. That's from around 280 to around 250. That's 30 rand
that's
a month.
30,
my maths is shocking. Yeah. And his data usage would be adjusted accordingly, he said. But instead, when he got his text bill, he saw that the subscription had actually jumped up from 280 to 346. He said, this is the part, I mean, these things can happen, but then it's compounded by this. I sent them emails and called them on various numbers to no avail. I even visited their stores in Newmarket, Alberton, as well as Alberton City, and nobody could help me. The frustrating part is that all the agents and employees of MTN that I've spoken to, they make false promises of sorting my account out, but nothing has come of these empty promises. So he said he'd asked, and this is my real bugbear, he asked for copies or a recording of the call, that first December call. No one is willing to assist me. Right? It's your legal right to get a call in the event of a dispute, but often it's hard to exercise that right, as in Bernard's case.
Yeah.
I've been paying them. So this is, now it gets tricky. He decided he wasn't going to pay that 346 a month. He was going to pay the 249 instead, what he was promised. And, of course, that led to him being cut off. Can't make any calls, he said to me.
I
believe this is in bad faith. Yeah, no, you can. Now, there's someone that would probably want to, you know, have the impulse to let some F-bombs
use lots of swear words.
ill-advisedly, yes, ill-advisedly, but anyway. At shame, he ended his email off by saying, please come to my rescue, I beg you. So I emailed MTN and their response was, yes, our interim investigation indicates that Bernard has one contract. He was migrated from this mega thing to that mega thing and he was billed an extra 70 rand inclusive of migration fees as a result. That's 70 rand a month, right?
Yeah.
We've requested the call recording from our partner. They all have these marketing companies that partner them and make these calls. And we will share as soon as we have it. In the meantime, we've moved the package back to that 249 one, to 279. Gosh. Okay.
So his
credits
original
one will be processed. Yes. Credits will be processed for additional charges. We'd like to apologize to Bernard for the inconvenience. Yes, he was told it was going down to 249. I should have actually pushed it for them to
take it to what he was promised.
But anyway,
promised, yes.
At that stage, I had listened to the call recording. So I wrote back and said, well, what was the legitimate purpose of that call? 10 months into a 24-month contract, what was he supposed to legitimately be doing? Was wanting someone to now upgrade and pay more? Okay. Maybe just wait for their contract to get to the end. Just leave people's contracts alone. We've budgeted for that. That's what you've committed to 2 years. So be very wary when someone phones you. And I would sort of say before the end of the call, before you agree to anything, you summarize. Okay, just to be sure, I'm agreeing to this and I'm going to be paying this. And so you spell it out because they often don't.
Yeah.
And if what's your bill, and if it isn't what they promised, or if the phone they promised you isn't the phone you got, insist on getting the call recording. And if they won't, then you're welcome to email me, because, as I say, this is one of my biggest bugbears in consumer land.
Wendy, I have a couple of questions around this. So when you agree to something over the phone, is that recording recognized as a contract? Is that recorded as is that an agreement, or does it still need to be something that has to be signed on paper, or they email you something?
What you've just articulated, Yuvika, is something that many people believe to be the case. They don't believe that the call has
binding
significance of a written contract, and it actually absolutely does. It's known in the business as the mandate, whether it's a signed contract face-to-face or whether it's the recording of the call. And this is what makes me so livid when people aren't able to get their hands on that recording, because it takes the place of a written contract. So the company's saying, well, we'll ambush you with this cold call, and then with a script, and we'll bamboozle you, and then we'll keep the recording, so you don't have your own copy. So number one, they've got a smartphone, investigate downloading an app that you can record all these sort of calls yourself. So when the person says, please note, this call is recorded, you can say, please note, I'm also making my own copy. Thank you very much to protect myself. But yes, it absolutely does take the place. There doesn't need to be a follow-up sort of written process. So that's another reason to be very wary of these calls. I wouldn't recommend them at all, to be honest. Makes sense in our busy lives, but go into a store, get that contract, discuss,
update your contracts that way. But you are entitled to those recordings, right? You are entitled. You don't even have to go the legal route to get them.
No. It isn't stated in the Act. I believe that it was an omission. The National Consumer Commission has confirmed to me, and I quote this often, that in the event of a dispute, the consumer absolutely does have a right to access. Unfortunately, what I want to see in the law is that within 5 days, they must send you the recording so you have it. Why not? The technology is absolutely there. They can do it immediately. There's no excuse.
Yeah.
But anyway, as it stands, you have access. So what a lot of cell phone contracts do, which also drives me wild, is they'll say, you may go down to your nearest branch and listen to it there. So you've got to listen like a child while they play it. Like once, make notes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been campaigning for this. I think I'm going to step it up before my career is over. I want to see that in the law. It's not fair.
Yeah.
As it stands.
Yeah. And you know what thought has just struck me, Wendy, is that when these guys call you, often, and I found often the line isn't great. So you can't really hear what they're saying, and they speak really fast. So in the case of Bernard, I mean, I'm not sure if they have found that he was told about the migration cost that actually drove this up, it seems, or whether he didn't hear it, even if he was told. Also, they do tend to call you before 8 o'clock in the morning or late in the evening. Sometimes you're not. I don't know if that's deliberate. I don't know if that is a tactic. I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, I don't want to sort of tar the entire industry.
I
don't know if I'm the only one who has found that.
I certainly have had a few from my own service provider at sort of annoying times. There are limits. They can't phone after 8 o'clock during the week, for example. And I want to just say, obviously, there are many of these calls that go off without a hitch, but I personally have dealt with so many that have been where the salesperson who's earning a commission, don't forget, has misled, that's one thing. And then the person can't get justice, can't engage with the network, with the service provider to make it right. And that's really, it's like a double whammy. And it just flips me over the edge that. And so I will take up as many of these cases as I possibly can.
And you know what I often say to them is, listen, I can't pay attention. I can't actually process what you're telling me on the phone. It's very difficult. Can you email me my options?
And they
won't. I haven't seen an email yet. And then even when I've had the call with the one person, I get it again 10 minutes later for the same thing. And that is what gets my blood boiling for the same thing. When I've just, surely you have a system where you've put this on to say, we spoke to Yuveka, she wants it mailed or mailed to customer or something like that. I just have to often wonder how they work. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do it. That's a separate channel. So you have to go into the store, and I would really recommend that. Yeah. Unless you absolutely can't, is to go and do it in person. That's what my experience means.
All right. So Bernard's case has sort of been resolved. We're still waiting to hear the recording of what that
it's
is.
It's been resolved, but I want to know what was supposed to happen, what the aim was, what the legitimate aim was. And we can certainly come back to that another time, and by which stage I'll have a whole lot of new cases to discuss.
After today. Oh, but Wendy, thanks so much. As we know, Nola knows everything. She has for the many, many years that I know her as well. Thanks so much. It's been wonderful catching up with you again. And these are things that are bugbears for many people, and I'm glad that you highlight them. And thanks so much. And guys, just remember, just be nice. Just be nice in terms of complaints as well, because, you know, nice gets you somewhere often. It really, really does.